Thank you, buddy.
It is a joy to be here. Is it a joy to worship with you and to hear your singing to the Lord? That is wonderful. Thank you, Todd, for leading us in worship. I've known Todd for many years. One of the joys of being a pastor for a number of years, I remember Todd leading 25 years ago youth camp he was involved. So thank you, Todd, for that. And I have been asked this morning to speak on our regional partnership as part of Sovereign Grace Churches. Our region consists of churches in Virginia, West Virginia, North and South Carolina, and we also have a church in Jacksonville, Florida, in our region. And by God's kind providence and grace, each of our churches do not exist in a vacuum. And our pastors and pastoral teams are not leading churches in isolation. We are building churches and ministering together in partnership with other churches in Sovereign Grace. And in our region, it is called the Mid-South region. And we're related covenantally, relationally, and missionally. As JJ said, we care for people's, God's people, and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ together in the U.S. and around the world. And the consequences of building churches this way is broad and profound. So today we're going to look at two things. We're going to look at the heart of gospel partnership from the book of Acts, which is just one specific situation in Scripture in the early church. And then we're going to look at the blessings of gospel partnership we have specifically as in our region. So let's pray, and then we're going to look at, you can turn to the book of Acts chapter 11. That's where we're going to be reading from. You can turn there. Acts chapter 11, we're going to start in verse 19 in just a moment. But let me pray and ask God to help me to communicate in such a way that we are all encouraged in the Lord and thank God for what he's done. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be with this church. Lord, even as we worship, grace, it's clear that your grace abounds in this place. Lord, you are at work in and among this church, Crossway Church. Lord, this morning as we look at your word, would you help me to be able to communicate clearly in such a way that we will see your hand in calling us together, and you will fill us with fresh faith for all that you have called us to do. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to look at the heart of gospel partnership from Acts chapter 11. It's one small instance of partnership, but let's start reading in verse 19. And we're going to look at 19 through 29, but I'm going to read, or through 30, but I'm going to read verses 19 through 26 to begin with. I'm reading from the ESV version of the Bible. Now, those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists, also preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus and to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And for a whole year, they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. Acts 11 is one of those passages. This section is one of those passages one might read and miss entirely the seismic shift that is taking place in the early church. Up to this point, I mean, everything changed. Let's face it. The world changed when one grave was opened up, and the Son of God went to heaven. The world changed in that moment. Up to this point, after following Christ's resurrection, the gospel has been preached almost exclusively to Jewish people, beginning in Jerusalem at Pentecost, where subsequent to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Peter explained what took place with Christ's resurrection, and 3,000 people were converted. Wouldn't you like to have been there? 3,000 people were converted. Jews and proselytes from all over the world were there for Pentecost, and the converts stay. And over the next 2 to 3 years, the nascent church, Jerusalem church, though experiencing some resistance, continues to grow and continues to take shape. However, as you know, I'm just giving you a little bit of background. Stephen was martyred, and a great persecution broke out, causing many believers to scatter all over the place. Then Philip takes the gospel to Samaria. And then a seemingly random eunuch from Ethiopia is converted. Isn't that quite the story? You know, an angel speaks to Philip, says, go down to Gaza. And then he sees a chariot and says, go up to the chariot. And here's the book of Isaiah being read by this man from Africa. It's amazing how God in the general story of salvation goes into individuals being saved, isn't it? That's how God saves people. He saves them individually. Here's an Ethiopian eunuch that is brought into the middle of the story. Your story is that way, so is mine. In God's great plan of salvation, he knows us by name. But most amazing of all, before we get to chapter 11, Saul, that great enemy and persecutor of the church, miraculously becomes a follower of Christ. This is miraculous. He was a persecutor of God's church. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. And then just prior to the section we read the story of Peter going to preach the gospel to Cornelius, a Roman centurion. And what a story. God had to prepare Peter with a vision because he wouldn't have gone there because he's a Gentile and he's a Roman centurion. He's a Roman soldier. God speaks to Cornelius. God speaks to Peter. Peter goes to his house and shares Christ. And what happens? The Holy Spirit falls on all of them. And Peter had to go back and explain to the Jews and some of the Jews in Jerusalem. They weren't too happy about that. What are you doing to go into Cornelius, a Gentile's household, even eating with them? You don't do that. Some of them were that way. So Peter had to go back and explain what he was doing with a bunch of Gentiles, with a bunch of uncircumcised men. And he explained what had taken place with us, took place with them too. That's the background for this passage. So when you read, now those who were scattered because of the persecution arose over Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus, are spreading out, and then to Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. That's what they were doing. But, anytime you see a but in Scripture, take notice. But now, right? Salvation from God. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to Hellenists. And if you look down in your footnote, it says Gentiles. These are Gentiles also preaching the Lord Jesus. And then we read, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Jerusalem hears about this too. So they send Barnabas to check out what in the world is happening in Antioch. What is going on in Antioch? Because it's not just individual Gentiles now or a family. It is a location where the grace of God is being poured out. The Holy Spirit is being poured out. And they want to know if what is going on, is this legit? And they send Barnabas. And it says when he came and saw what? The grace of God. He saw the unmerited favor of God. He was glad. There are people I want to meet in heaven. Barnabas is one of the people I want to meet. He was the man that was not afraid when the news came out that Saul was converted and everybody ran from Saul. Barnabas went to check him out. And it says here, he was glad and exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. Why? Because he was a good man, full of the Spirit, and of faith. And of faith. Don't lose that. And of faith. God is at work. And a great many people were added to the Lord. Then what does Barnabas do? He goes and finds Saul, the Pharisee of Pharisees, who has now been converted. He brings him to Antioch, and for a whole year, this brother and Saul teaches the Gentile believers. Who would have ever seen that coming? Saul wouldn't have ever seen that coming in his life. And here he is in Antioch. And then you have these wonderful words. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. They were so much like Christ. And it was a disparaging word. Oh, they're Christians. But what a title for these people. Now, what I want you to notice is the very next small story, the very next vignette about this church in Antioch. It's given. It's the very next verses, starting in 27 through 29. I want you to see what they did. It's what God wants us to know. It's the next story about the church in Antioch. Now, in these days, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. And one of them named Agabus stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine over all the world.
This did take place in the days of Claudius. And what was their response? So the disciples determined everyone according to his ability to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. There's going to be a famine all over the world. And what is this church, this young church's response? It wasn't, let's circle the wagons. The famine's going to be all over the world. Let's circle the wagons. Let's hoard all we can. Let's save ourselves. Let's watch out for number one. God's doing a work in our church. We don't have time. We don't have finances to worry about that. We've got to take care of us and get ready. That wasn't their response. Rather, it was this. Let's take a collection and send relief to our Jewish brothers and sisters living in Judea. Let's care for this sister church in need. The younger church taking care of a church older. Let's do this. And they did it, sending it by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. We learned just in this one small situation, first of all, the gospel of Jesus Christ breaks down the dividing walls of hostility between peoples. As we know that from Ephesians chapter 2, where Paul writes more about that, we don't quite get the hostility that was between Jews and Gentiles. There was great hostility. There was historical hostility between these two peoples. But the gospel of Jesus Christ broke it down. It took a little bit for the Jewish believers, but it broke down the hostility. It overcomes tribalism among peoples. And I commend this church because you care about your city. You join with other believers in caring for this city and reaching out with the gospel. Listen, I'm going to talk about our regional partnership. We're not the only church. Amen? This is where God's called us to be. We're not the only church. I love Sovereign Grace Church. I love our region, but I recognize God is, listen, the world's much too big for us to reach alone. Amen? So God breaks down tribalism, and he overcomes self-interest. There's going to be a famine all over the world. Let's take care of our brothers and sisters in Judea. Here's the reality. We who are far off have been brought near not only to God, but to one another. To one another. When God reconciles us to himself, he reconciles us to others in Christ. People who we maybe never would have. And listen, we know we're in the now, but not yet. I mean, we have to labor at this. We know that. So I'm not walking with rose-colored glasses. But the reality of it is in our church, in my local church, there are people that I am friends with that I never would have been friends with apart from Christ. I knew them. Listen, one of our pastors, my earliest memory of him in high school, we were 1 year apart in school. One of my memories that stands out was a man in a hallway with a bloody nose because this pastor had hit him in the nose in school. They got in a fight. We who are far off have been brought near to God, and we've been brought near to one another. We who were once hating and being hated now come together through Jesus Christ. We come for fellowship, for mutual care, for ministry, and for mission. Now you're going to see, and we're not going to look at all the scriptures, it would take too much time, but I want you to know that this heart that Antioch has extends far beyond them. And we see this in of all places in the book of 1 Corinthians, in the church at Corinth. Paul's first letter to Corinth is filled with reproofs and corrections. This church was a mess. And it's one section after another of trying to adjust them. But as you get towards the end of the book, and it's chapter 16, starting in verse 1, we read these words. Now concerning the collection for the saints, wow. As I directed the churches of Galatia, and those are three churches, Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe, so you also are to do. Paul says, I instructed the churches in Galatia. I'm instructing you too. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. And when I arrive, I will send those whom you accredit by letter to carry your gift to Jerusalem. Here's another church who's going to help. The Corinthian church. He says, if it seems advisable, I'll go along too, and they can accompany me. And then in Paul's second letter, written a year or so later, there might have been another letter written as well, we find the Corinthian pledge hasn't been fulfilled, probably because of their struggling relationship with Paul after he did all this correcting. There were some things going on. So Paul devotes two whole chapters. There are two chapters in our Bible. They're chapters 8 and 9, urging them to finish the work that they had committed themselves to do, taking up the offering for the church in Judea, the church in Jerusalem. And he begins with these words in chapter 8. He says, we want you to know, remember this is the second letter. He says, we want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. It's not just Galatia now, it's Macedonia. You know who churches were in Macedonia? The Philippian church, the church of Thessalonica, and probably the Berean church. But those two churches for sure, and we have letters to them as well. So he says, we want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches in Macedonia. Here's some more churches. They're taking partnership. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. It probably wasn't a lot of money, but in light of their circumstances, they're being generous into caring for the church in Jerusalem as well. For they gave according to their means, as I can earnestly testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord. And look at this, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. They want to join in too. And if you read later on, and I encourage you to go home and read chapters 8 and 9. But you will see later on that these churches in Macedonia were inspired by the commitment of the Corinthians to give toward this relief effort for the church in Jerusalem. It's an amazing partnership. And it's not about the money itself for Paul. It's not about the money of itself. And this isn't a message on giving, by the way. We're not taking up an offering at the end, all right? Just want you to know that. It's not about the money. It's about the evidence of the grace of God in partnership in their lives. It's about their love for the brethren. As God has poured his grace out upon them, they are now being conduits of his grace to others. And folks, that's the way it works. When we were dead, God, because of what was in God, by his mercy and grace, while we were dead, he made us alive as an act of amazing grace. But his grace doesn't stop there. His grace then comes into our lives as power to serve those around us as a changed heart and a changed mind. And why you're gathering here on a Sunday morning to worship this God. And that grace of God comes into our lives and we cannot contain it to ourselves. We must use it for his glory and the good of others. And we do that together as churches. And when you read here a little bit further, you'll see that along with Paul and Titus is mentioned as well, others were appointed from these churches by the churches to help carry the gift. Paul wants to make sure it gets there. He wants to be a man of integrity. So they picked people from their churches to join in taking the gift to Jerusalem. It's partnership. And collections are made. And then Paul ends this chapter, chapter 9 in 2 Corinthians, with these words, "Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift." And folks, he's not talking about money. He's talking about the opportunity we have to join in God's work, which began began long before, but Christ, the age of grace began when Christ rose from the dead, poured out his spirit, and we get to join with other churches down through history, with other churches in our cities, and particularly for us, in a great way, regionally and in sovereign grace, to join together in his work. That's what's going on here. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. In the early churches, leaders were joined together in decision making. Leaders will be sent back and forth to help care for churches. Believers will travel among the churches, the various church locations. Believers will join to support the gospel mission, both formally and informally. They'll join together, all for the glory of God, the good of his people, and the spread of the gospel around the world. That's partnership. We just don't do it in general. We live it out specifically. We're living it out specifically. So let's talk about the specific partnership we have as Sovereign Grace Churches, and specifically Sovereign Grace Churches in the Mid-South. If you're newer here, you may not know some of these ways. We are blessed with partnership. If you've been here for a long time, some of this will be, you'll say, yep, I know that. And you can say amen, all right? So first of all, what do we experience? What are the blessings we have being covenanted together as churches in Sovereign Grace and in our region? Number one, I'm going to give you five ways we're blessed. Number one, we're blessed with a shared belief. And JJ mentioned some of these. We are blessed that we join together with a shared belief. Our beliefs in Franklin are the same. We have the same statement of faith that we are aligned with that you are. Okay? I love lots of different Christians, but I love those who I share the statement of faith with. We are blessed. We know for Christians, there is but one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all. That's what Ephesians 5 said. That's for every Christian. We believe in the Apostles' Creed, where it says the Holy Catholic Church, which means universal church, right? We believe in the universal church. But God calls us, his churches, to build together in local expressions and partnership. I used to think denominations, it used to be terrible how many denominations there were. And I know it's partly because of the weakness of men, but some of it is we just join together with people of like mind. We have primary convictions with all believers around the world, but we have secondary convictions and priorities with people and understanding the faith and mission. The true church is universal, yet within God's providence, church groups join together based on biblical convictions and priorities. We love other believers. We join with those covenantally, with those with like mind. And that's God's kindness. It's kindness for us. It's kindness for other groups as well. Our churches are built together theologically with a common statement of faith. And it's a blessing that we don't have just a hodgepodge of ideas. It's a blessing, folks, that we join together. And as we gather regionally, we are joined together with men and people of like mind regarding the faith. We are not robots, but we do agree on important doctrines. That's a blessing. Don't take that for granted. Secondly, and this will be interesting for you, it would have been for me a few years, we are blessed that we join together with a shared polity. Polity. P-O-L-I-T-Y. Church government, church processes. My natural bent is to be revulsed by this. I say, we want to serve Jesus. We want to do his mission work. We want to be about Christ's work. Forget about government. Early on, I was a good charismatic. I said, forget about doctrine. I said, I just want to serve the Lord. Yeah. Yes, well, that's where we were. I used to say, I don't want to worry about church government processes and structures. And that's fine until we experienced unexpected trials. And we had no processes. We had no way. Imagine Navy SEALs going into a mission. And they say, we're going to run into trials. And then one of the SEALs says, what are we going to do when we want to run into trials? And he says, just wing it. Just do what you feel. Now they train and they know and they plan. My natural bent is away from these things. I'm not on the Church Polity Committee for Sovereign Grace. It is not the way I run. But we've had a group of men who've sat down and looked historically and learned and said, this seems biblically the way that we should build. We are elder-led churches. But more than that, is they were looking ahead. We looked ahead and say, here are some of the things we might face, and we should have plans in place whereby we are in the now but not yet world. We should have plans in place to deal with issues that come about, and we have common knowledge of how we're building the church. We have a book of church order. You can get online on the Sovereign Grace website. If you want reading, I was going to say help you put to sleep, but it's not true. But if you want to read it, you can read it. And it's a number of pages, but it says, here's how we build. Here's what we do when this situation arises. Here's what we do if someone in the church is struggling. They have directions. They have places they can go to talk. They can talk with the local pastors. If we can't solve it on a local level, we'll get it on a regional level, and we'll talk through and help solve these issues. What if someone becomes heretical in their views? Heaven forbid. What if someone becomes divisive? We have processes and procedures in place. They're extra biblical, but they're guardrails to help us say, this is who we are. This is what's going to guard us. This is what's going to be along the trail. When my wife and I went to Glacier, and I know, talking to Joe, he said, man, he'd love to go back to Glacier anytime. Well, we went to Glacier. We saw half of Glacier because we went in July and there was fires on the West Coast, so we only saw half of it. There's so much smoke. But there was one trail that we saw. We go on this certain trail. And I forget the name of the trail. The roads themselves are scary enough, driving on them, all right? We got to this trail, and we walked down this little pathway, and we started to go around the trail, and I saw it go on a rock face, and it was about a 1,000-foot drop. and the path was this wide. And my wife would have gone. I don't like heights. I said, I'm not going on that trail. But they had put a cable around that area that you could hold on to. I just couldn't imagine when I faced someone else, who's going to let go of the cable to get around the other person, right? If someone's going this way. Listen, that's what this is for us. We don't live life as churches, a church polity. But when we get on those areas where the trail gets narrow, we've got something to grab a hold of. We know this is the way we're going to go. This is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to use. We have adjudication processes. John's the chairman of our judicial review committee. So you have someone you can go to. If you say, I have a struggle and I want to get it worked through. And if a pastor's accused, there's somewhere he can go to. Okay? It is God's kindness that we have a shared polity. You're not alone as a church. Your pastors are not alone as pastors. We share together and as a movement. And there's even, over regionally, there's a national review. That's just one aspect. But in other words, we're not just winging it, folks. There's things that have been thought through that when we hit rough ground, we can all say, here's how we're going to walk through this rough ground together. That is a blessing of God. It provides clarity, guidance, protection when trouble comes for our churches. Clarity regarding our roles as leaders and members provides process for addressing inevitable disagreements. It provides protection by laying the framework for adjudicating instances of doctrinal deviation or division. It provides tangible joint care for our churches so that we don't face issues alone or unprepared. Now, you never thought about that. I never thought about that either until we hit some hard times. And then we realize we need this. It is God's kindness for us. And we partner together with this. We're not alone as churches in troubled times. That is God's grace. The third area that you will think often about is we are joined together with joyful partnership for missions and church planting. We have 8 churches in our region. It's not a lot of churches, but of those 8 churches, you are a part. And so are 2 churches that were planted out of this church. So Somerville and Wilmington churches, the men interned here were planted out of this church. You are responsible for 3 of our 8 churches. You are deeply involved in our region, whether you know it or not. Deeply involved. If you're newer, you don't know, but that's the history here. Your church planted 2 other churches in our region. We share in joyful missions work together. Some of our missions, our local missions, are carried out locally by our church alone, just like you. You have missions you do yourself. In other words, we don't say you can't do a mission unless we all do it together. It's not that way at all. You've got local missions here that you're reaching out into your city. M28 is an outreach from this church. It's your mission. We have local things we do as well as a church. There's things we do in cooperation with other churches. For us, it includes a food bake. We reach out to our schools. We are serving students that are coming in for a gap year into our area. And we are also, probably with you, we do worldwide missions with groups such as Operation Christmas Child. We do that. We're joining churches around the world. So we are doing missions in our churches that don't necessarily involve just our region, but we're doing a lot through our region. And I'm going to give you an example from just our last regional assembly phone call. This was after our meeting this spring. We said we need to decide together, do we want to be involved in these events for these mission outreaches for our region? So we brought them up at our meeting, but we didn't have time to take them and discuss them with our teams because we talk together on these things. We decide together. Here's what we talked about and voted on. Just to give you a feel for some of the missions we're involved with. We talked about Thailand. We are helping spread the gospel in Thailand and hopefully plant a church there someday. So we talked about Thailand, but in this instance, it was opportunities for publishing music and books. We wanted to spend between $3,000 and $4,000 to pay for an extra day for a translator to translate books into the Thai language. We decided we would do that. We also agreed to spend $14,000. It was $4,500 for title to publish 3 different books, 500 to 1,000 copies of each book, to give resources as they're reaching out into Thailand in their own language. We talked about Bolivia. Okay, with one of the churches there, the church, and listen, the church in Bolivia, they had an attempted coup like 3 weeks ago in Bolivia. We have a church there we're supporting in Bolivia. We want to help compensate for a lost donor, so we agreed to give $4,000 a year there. Namibia. I didn't even know where Namibia was until we decided we're going to help a guy plant a church there. There's a man in the Richmond church who's from South Africa. His family's from South Africa. He moved to America. He is a forensic scientist. Wonderful man. He's an elder in the church there. His son married a woman from Namibia. It didn't exist. I can't remember what it was before it was Namibia. Some of you probably know that. But the country became the country of Namibia. Moved back there. Worked in a nonprofit for a number of years. Felt a call into ministry. Said, I want to plant a church and I want to be a Sovereign Grace church. Came back to Richmond. Took classes at the Pastor's College in Louisville. Interned in Richmond. Has gone back to Namibia. We're supporting him planting a church in Windhoek, Namibia. That's part of what you're doing. That's part of what we're doing together. We're going to give him a grant for 2024. We're going to give him a grant for 2025. So we talked in this phone call about Thailand, Bolivia, Namibia. We talked about Ethiopia. I know you all support Ethiopia, the Pastor's College, a church there. We didn't need to give money to them because another partner region gave money. We were going to give money to help them set up an official Pastor's College facility. Not needed. But there's two other things. We found out about a girls' home, New Heart Foundation. Their founders are attending the Bolivia church. They're reaching out to trafficked girls, young girls. And we said, yes, we want to be a part of that. We're going to help that outreach. And then we talked about Rancho 3M. And I know you, this church greatly supports Rancho 3M. You're all sending a team shortly. Rancho 3M has great financial needs because the minimum wage there has increased 500% in the last couple years. And they have needs. And we said, let's give $20,000 towards that need. The need's much more. JJ oversees our finance committee. He does a great job. And who assists you? Is Kathy assists you? Who helps you with the records? Julie, that's right. Julie assists you. That's right. Julie assists you. So your church is involved in that. So Julie helps with the records. JJ oversees that. And we're blessed to be able to do this. And then we had one more opportunity for missions that was brought to our attention. In the Bolivian church, there was a father and son helped plant this church. And it started with just a few people. It's a very poor country. The father, after going there, his son actually is the pastor of the church now, and the church is growing very, very quickly recently, it seems like. But the father began to have retinal tears in his eyes and had numerous surgeries to the point now his vision is mostly gone. And he's an older man. And Chris DeLogalis, who oversees this mission for us from the Richmond Church, says we want to try to help him have some income in his retirement. He's not going to be able to pastor anymore. He sacrificed to move to this area to help plant a church. He can't see. He can't work. And so we agreed to join in. They're going to buy some real estate. I think they're going to rent a couple of apartments to give him income. And it's being very well vetted, so we know that this is for real deal. We decided to give him $10,000 so that in his latter years he'll have income for the rest of his life. Listen, you did that. Your involvement did that. Isn't that wonderful? To do something like that. God cares for the big mission. He cares for individual people. And I thought, Lord, this, what a blessing to do that for this man. So we partner in our polity. We partner in our beliefs. We partner in our mission regionally. In Sovereign Grace, in general, you give towards Sovereign Grace, not just our region, but to Sovereign Grace. Here's some quick updates from the last mission monthly updates. If you don't get Dave Taylor's monthly mission updates, get on the Sovereign Grace website and sign up for that monthly. Y'all can put it on here for them. Sign up. It will so encourage your heart. This is just from the very last update, just a few quick topics. Had a picture of the 2025 Sovereign Grace Pastors College classes there. Our partnership with Seoul, Korea, the history of that church and what's going on there now. Larry Malamut, who is pastor of this church, was key in that church being built. He was key. He went year after year after year, and he mentioned, Song Wan mentions in the article, thank the Lord for Larry Malamut and his commitment to this church. That was you. That was this church. So partnership with South Korea. Also missionaries in Turkey are mentioned there, not by name. Been there 4 years. How hard it is. We see our own chaos happening here in this country, folks. This is not unusual in God's world for his church to grow in this type of environment. In Turkey, you'll read about update from Sierra Leone, West Africa, and two other countries that were there involved in a small conference that was being put on there by Sovereign Grace. We read about the Mexican National Assembly. They have enough churches in Mexico. They're their own country within Sovereign Grace. They aren't under the U.S. covering anymore. We read about that in that update. And then we read about Redeeming Grace Church that was planted recently in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, in our country. And your giving and your involvement makes all this possible. In our little church in Franklin, listen, in our church, in our town in Franklin, there's not many more people than there is in this room. We have one stoplight in Franklin. We have one stoplight in our county. It's the same stoplight. But through Sovereign Grace and our partnership with you and our partnership in Sovereign Grace, we get to help believers around the world and spread the gospel around the world to brickyards in Pakistan. There are churches being planted in Pakistan in the brick among the brickyards of the lowest people in Pakistan. We got churches wanting to join our little movement in the Philippines, in India. And we, in our little church in West Virginia, we get to be join with you and be a part of this. That is God's kindness to us, folks. So we have a shared mission. And then I'm going to give you two more. We have a shared fellowship. We pastors in Sovereign Grace are not professionals. That's to use what John Piper says. We are not professionals. We are members of God's church, whom he has called to be under shepherds, to lead and care for the people for whom Christ has died. We do not pastor alone. We don't want to pastor alone. I don't want to pastor alone. We don't pastor alone as individuals or as teams. That is God's kindness. It's God's kindness for us. It's God's kindness for you. I am not sure, this is not an overstatement, and Mickey's not here this morning, I'm not sure I would have endured in ministry without the ongoing friendship and personal care of Mickey Conley. There were numerous times in my life when I was very discouraged, and he's come to our church for 30-some years. 30-some years he's been every year to our church. And he did that at first because we were friends, and I needed his help, and I needed his encouragement. We don't pastor alone. We met each other in the early 90s, and we have been brothers and friends and co-laborers ever since. And I beat him in golf most every time we play. Put that in there. Yeah, so, anyway. Don't want to go down that rabbit trail. I've known a number of your pastors for years as well. I remember Joe. I asked Joe, where's the first youth camp you were at? Because I remember you at youth camp, said it was in Tennessee at Waffloy. You can ask Joe about that. That was an interesting experience. We had something. But you said you just finished the pastor's college and you've gone there to serve. Just met Jay, well, not JJ in our region, but really just got to know him in the last year and a half since he's been really regional leader, more in the year and a half. And appreciating a growing friendship with his brother. Just thank God for him. But his wife Bethany was friends with my daughters. In high school, she's been in our home. She traveled to West Virginia. Her and Mickey Conley's, was it two daughters, both daughters? At least one, maybe both of them, traveled from Charlotte to West Virginia. And when they drove there, they talked about our girls going to Charlotte, but I said, I don't think our girls can drive in that traffic. I don't think so. We have no four-lane roads in our county. Their concern was, we're fine with them driving here and up the interstate. We're worried about that mountain they've got to go across to get to West Virginia. So she has been in our homes. And I thank God for JJ. I thank God for Bethany. I thank God for your pastors. Jeremy and I have worked together on committees. John, I'm getting to know Mark. Don't know Mark well. I just know he loves Jesus and he loves fly fishing. And that's good enough for me. All right? Getting to know him. John was at our first youth camp. See, when you get to be an older pastor, you can look back and see what God's hand more when you look backwards. Joe was at our first youth camp, and as a 15 or 16-year-old, we had a Sunday morning meeting, and John came up to the prophecy mic and gave a word. at 15 or 16 years old. I thank God for this church. I thank God we aren't professionals. I thank God for your pastors. We do regional meetings twice a year. We do business, but we also hang out together. Your church has hosted this regional meeting we've had every year since we've had it. This facility is a blessing from God. I think I've been in this church over the years, probably, I told them at least 20 times, but I've probably been more like 30 times in my life for various events and for our regional assemblies that have been the last 12 or 13 years have been here in the spring. And I think David Moore has served us every year. What you walk, yeah, no joke. And now that I'm regional leader, I just say, Dave, we're having an RAE, take care of it. But you do, you walk through, you know you're going to have your friendly pastors greeting us, and you're going to have Dave Moore taking care of everything we need. We are. It is amazing. Just an amazing servant of God. So we have youth camps north and south. I know you'll have you have your own college ministry event in the spring. If you want to go to a second one, we have a relay conference in January that I understand was wonderful for young adults. But I know you do have yours here, so that is fine. And we have our leaders' conferences, which are wonderful, and we are just grateful. So bottom line is, since its beginning, Sovereign Grace hadn't just been a group of professionals laboring together. They've been brothers in the Lord. They've been pastors who love God and love one another and see ministry not done in isolation but done together with others of like mind and like heart. And we build relationships together, and we thank God for that. And I thank God for that as the pastors. But I want you to know again, that is God's gift to you as a church. That you have pastors who have friends and brothers who look over their shoulders, and not just look over their shoulders, but care for them in their lives. About 25 years ago, I had a brain hemorrhage. It was unexpected, as all brain hemorrhages are. I had some work done on my eyes, and I had, unbeknownst to me, a congenital hemangioma. It was born with it. There was a weak area in my brain where the vessels didn't come together quite right. And when they did the work on my eyes, they numbed behind my eyes and evidently increased pressure in the brain or whatever. And I began to leak, and I had a golf ball-sized hemorrhage in the middle of my head. And I ended up at the ICU in UVA in University of Virginia and was looking at surgery the next day, probably. Linda was with me. We had five young children. Our oldest was 12 years old. Left the house, went to the oral surgeon, saw the pictures on the wall. Think you should go to UVA. And I'm thinking, where do you want me to go next week? Make an appointment. He said, I want you to leave now. And we ended up at UVA in the hospital, not knowing what the next day was going to be. They weren't sure what was going on because the blood was there. And that night, the next day, I don't remember, it was probably the next day that night, phone call from Mickey, phone call from Bill Kittrell, or I called them, tell them what's going on, or they found out and said, what do you need? What can we do? Do you want us to preach on Sunday? I can get someone here, I'll come up. That's the way we build. That's the way we build. We are not walking through this life alone as believers. We are not walking through this chaotic world alone as churches. God has called us together with other people, like mind, like heart, like understanding the way we're going to do church, sharing mission together, sharing life together. And it's a gift to us. It's a gift to our church. And then finally, the last one. The last blessing we have is we have a shared joy and gratefulness to God for all he's doing in the earth. We have a shared joy. So it's, you know, when something good happens to us, what do we want to do? We want to tell somebody, right? So we get to tell each other our stories. We get to hear the stories of what God has done. And we get the joy of gathering together. We do as pastors and talking about what God is doing in our churches. And also the challenges we have as well, that is there as well. So I can't just say it's all joy on the good things. We're also there sharing in the difficulties. But I thank God that we're doing this together. And that someday we're going to stand before God. And when God brings your church up front and says, here's how the grace of God was poured out on Crossway. It's not just going to be you there. It's going to be other churches sitting there saying, glory to God for all that he did through Crossway Church. And it's going to be individual. Yes, we know that. And I know I'm speaking something more broadly here than you might see directly in Scripture, but the reality of it is we're going to talk for all eternity of the kindness of God to us. And it's not just going to be me alone. It's not going to just be you alone. It's going to be what God did for us and through us together. And there is greater joy in that, folks. There is great joy. When I read the Sovereign Creation mission statements, when I read that update, when I read that update about Korea and Larry Malamud, when he spoke to Larry Malamud, it is not just a name to me. It is memories. It is memories for you. And it brought joy in my heart that God ever called us together. How kind of the Lord that we're not alone. How kind of the Lord that we have brothers and sisters who we covenant with to go through this world together in ministry and in friendship and belief. It's the kindness of the Lord. I thank God for all he's doing in us and through us. Every time we're together in our assemblies, I thank God. Every time I visit a church, people said, how do you like being a regional leader? I say, what do you like about us? I like visiting the churches. It is a joy to hear all that God is doing. I thank God for you, Crossway Community Church of Charlotte. I thank God for your pastors. I thank God that in his kind providence here, called together to spread his glorious gospel and build his church. I became a pastor in closing in 1989. Before our church joined Sovereign Grace, pastoral ministry had it wasn't even an option for me. I saw pastors in our area. I saw how the ministry tore down their lives and tore down their families because they were alone. I watched what happened to them as they moved from place to place, and I wanted none of it until we joined Sovereign Grace. And then I saw a model that I felt like I could give myself to this. I became a pastor in 1989, and 35 years I have never pastored alone. And our church has never been alone to the glory of God. I thank God for your church. And I thank God for the opportunity that we have to share the Lord together. To serve the Lord together. Thanks for all you do in our region. Thanks for all you do to serve this area in your city. And thanks for partnering with us. Our church thanks God for you. We really do. I'm going to ask Todd to come up, and as he does, I want to close with one scripture that it really is a prayer that I would have for you. Paul wrote it in 2 Corinthians 9:8 when he was talking about their partnership in caring for a church, most of whom the people in that church, they probably never met. They knew some of them, but they didn't know a lot of them. But they were partnered together, and here's what Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. This is my prayer for you, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, Crossway. God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, I pray you may abound in every good work. May the Lord cause you to abound in every good work. In the Lord's name, Jesus' name, and for his glory. Amen. Amen. Amen.